Just one scripture, and we'll give you time to find it. It's in Joel. Joel's one of the what they call the minor prophets in the Old Testament. Mine's on page 1202, if that helps you at all. Joel chapter 3, a small book, it's only a few chapters long, toward the end of the Old Testament. Joel chapter 3. Sometimes we need to wake up and stand up. You know, it's not just a matter of us waking up. You know, we've done that a lot in our life. We wake up, the alarm goes off, but we don't get out of bed. And we need to not only wake up, but we need to stand up. And there's some things that we need to wake up about, and there's things that we need to take a stand on. And we're just going to look at a few of those today as we read just one verse out of Joel chapter 3. And it says in verse number 9, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Make up the mighty men. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up." This verse just reminds us that we need to proclaim to the Gentiles or those around us and wake up the mighty men. There's a lot of mighty men in the Christian realm today. There's a lot of mighty men in this world today. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can fall asleep and not be awake when the battle's at hand. And God wants us to be involved in the battle, and he wants us to know some things. And we just got to cover just a few things today that we need to wake up and stand up for. Number one, we need to wake up to the fact that people still need the Lord. You know, we can't say we live in a generation now, over 2,000 years ago after Jesus was born and died and buried and was rose again 3 days later. We can't just say, well, that was enough back then. We don't need to tell people about the Jesus we know and tell them the truth, tell them how to get saved and get to heaven. We don't need to tell them that anymore. We're just beyond that. That was kind of old time religion. This is a move into the modern day. No, people still need Jesus, and God still saves today, just like he did 2,000 years ago. God still saved today, and people need the Lord. And they still need the truth. We can't tell them something different and tell them that God loves you and God loves all people and just leave it at that. We have to tell them that, yes, God loves you, but just like Jesus put it, he so loved the world he gave his only begotten son that that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. You know, we sometimes forget the whole truth. And we just want to tell them the part about God's love. It's not just God's love for us, but that he gave his son for a reason so that we would not perish. They still need the Lord. They need the truth. And preachers and pastors today, and even those that are out doing the work of God, are accountable to what we say. The preachers and pastors are accountable to their flock, and other people are accountable to God for what they say and every word that you utter. It's based on a leadership direction that God has given us and to his people, and we need to stand by it. Why do people not stand by the truth anymore? Why do people believe that they don't need the Lord and God's not saving anymore? It's just old time stuff. We don't need to tell them that anymore. This is all get along. Well, maybe it's because the prestige they want or the power that they want. They want to be somebody in this world. They want people to see them like somebody. They don't want to lose all the thousands of people they got in their congregation. So they ain't going to tell you the whole truth. They're just going to tell you a part of it. And we start changing God's word, we're as guilty as those that don't know the Lord. So people need the Lord. They need to keep with God. They still need God, and God still saves. Preachers and pastors are accountable for their flock. We're accountable for all the words that we say to people. And then the church is still the Lord's. Don't forget, the church belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to some pastor or preacher or some organization or some convention. It belongs to the Lord. It's his church. He's going to do what he's supposed to do in his church, what he wants to do. He's ahead of it. This is his book, and this is what we follow. And he told us in his book how we ought to run his church. And it's his church, not ours. We're to take care of his church. But not only take care of his church, we need to guard his church. And we got to guard our church that God gave us against all the wiles of the devil and the enemies that are out there. And we still know that people need the Lord. And the church is the Lord's. And also that not all churches are alike. Don't think just because they have the word church on their sign or fellowship or something that they're all the same. They're not all the same. If you look in your, does anybody have a Yellow Pages? I mean, a real one anymore? There's, do you remember these? They had the big cities like Fort Worth, Dallas, and Houston. You couldn't even lift those things. They were just, they were so heavy. They had so much stuff in it. I can remember when they threw that off on the, on my porch. I thought my concrete was going to crack. It was so heavy. It's a heavy, and now we got apps on our phone and we look everything up, Google it, and we don't need that anymore. We can look up anything you want without it. But in the old days, they used to deliver those things to the house. And when you looked up churches, it's like, oh, I'm in a new town. I'm in a hotel. I want to find some place to go worship. Turn to the section called churches and see how big it is. See how many names they have in there. See how many different denominations they have. You're thinking, we're all the same? No, they're not all the same. That's why they're segregated in there by name. There is a difference. And that's why people go there, because there is a difference. We're not all one big happy family. Not all our churches alike. The lack of labels that some people say, and we said, we're not going to call us our, we're just going to be non-denominational, interdenominational, whatever you want to call it. Just take the label off. Just call us the Summit Church, or just Fellowship, you know, just some, whatever. So people just show up. We don't have to deal with, that doesn't mean that you're not something. Everybody believes something. Everybody has a conviction about something. You may take it off the sign. It may confuse people for a little while what you believe as a church, but you still believe something. You're still teaching something there. Maybe it's the truth, maybe it's not, but it's still something. Everybody has a conviction, and we need to stay by the God's word and his conviction he gave us as a church that he gave us. And so whether we change our name or location or whatever, we still got to stick by God's word. People still need the Lord. We need to wake up to that fact. Number two, there's still sin present in the world. You know, there's still sin in this world. Even if we don't want to label it sin and want to change the label, make it sound nicer and sweeter and kinder so people won't be offended by it and, oh, don't worry about it. You just grew up that way and you, oh, because of, you know, you're just acting up because you, your parents or your dad left you when you were little or, you know, you grew up in foster homes. And we have all these excuses about all these things. Sin is still sin in God's eyes. It doesn't matter if we change the label of it and call it something else. God still knows what it is. He still knows what your, what's on your heart. He still knows what you are. He knows what I am. He knows us and he knows this world, and sin is still sin. Whether we redefined it or we change the label and we try to take it off and say, oh, it doesn't exist. We don't want to call out by name. We don't want to mention it anymore. Doesn't mean it's not present. Sin is still present, and we need to wake up to the fact and stand up to the fact that we know that sin is present in our lifetime, in our generation. It's not going away. Even Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. You can look, if you read the Old Testament and you looked in there and saw some of the stories of the Old Testament, the sins that the people had back then are the same sins we have today. Nothing changed. How do I know? You know, you can look at the clothes. My wife said the other day, man, if I wouldn't have threw away my clothes when I was growing up as a teenager, I'd still have something to wear today. If she wore those kind of clothes today. She don't wear in that size, she says. If she wore, it just comes back. It just recycles. The hairdos. I mean, I said, man, I haven't seen that in like 30 years. I wish I wouldn't see it today. They're coming back. It's all coming back. It just rotates. Everybody says, oh, study history so we don't repeat it. No, history does repeat. That's all it does. Because why? Because men are men, women are women. We're still human. We're still fleshly. We're still sinners, cut off from God with no hope without Jesus Christ. That's what it's been from day one, from Adam and Eve, and that's what it's going to be till the very end, till this world is destroyed. When God destroys this world, as he says in Revelation, he's going to start with a new heaven, a new earth, and there isn't going to be any sin. No more sin. No more Satan. No more problems. It's going to be perfect. Like it's supposed to have been in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned, and sin against God had to be thrown out. That's where the sin started. That's what all happened in all generations. But we got to remember and wake up to the fact that sin is still present. But you know what? Speaking of that, the source is still powerful. Satan is still around. He hasn't lost his power. He's still around. People say, well, why does God allow things to happen? I saw this thing on the news this morning. Something happened in Orlando. And calling it a terrorist attack and some other things going on, and all the tsunamis in the world, just the shambles of things going on in third world countries and people not having food to eat and not raining there for months and months and months. People say, well, why does God allow those things to happen? Well, why is it that you want him to intervene when it's things like that, but you won't even acknowledge him as God in your life? We want God to do everything, fix everything in the world, but I don't really believe in you. I don't really believe you exist, and I don't think I really need to follow your word and, you know, get saved and all that junk. But there is a still source in this world called Satan, and he's in charge of this world. That's why we're having all the problems. That's why we're having difficulties. Why doesn't God step in? Because God's merciful and he's patient. Just like he wants to step in and say, you need to be saved today or you die. But he's merciful and patient and giving you a chance to accept him on as making that choice to receive him as your own Savior and not be forced to. God doesn't force anybody to do anything. But he is in control ultimately. But Satan is still in control of this world until Satan's taken out of this world. And Satan has power over the oceans, over the seas, over the land. He has power over a lot of things. We see that in the scriptures. What he's in charge of, why he's here. God gave him a little bit of time, and limited power in this world. And he still is a source we have to deal with today. Our flesh is a source that's powerful against us. We can't overcome the flesh. No matter how great we try to be, and how we try to make ourselves nicer, and we want to be friendly, and we want to be nice, we want to say the right words, and we want to act the right way, and we want to just have a clean mind, never have a dirty thought in my mind, ever, ever, ever. It's not going to happen. Because we're still flesh. And that power is still there. That source is still there. We have the flesh, we have the Satan, but we also have this world we have to live in and deal with. Just because we got saved, we got have Christ as our Savior, doesn't mean we don't live in this world anymore. We're still here. We still have this flesh. We still have Satan out there causing us problems. We still live in a world that's just in shambles and difficulty and has all kind of turmoil. We still got to live through that. We're just sojourning. We're just going passing through. We're going home one day. But right now, we're going through this world. And this world is a powerful source against us. And we have to know that and wake up. We're not going to clean ourselves up enough. We're never going to have Satan as our enemy unless he's on your side. And then you're against God. The Bible tells us that for him, you're against me. And so it's that source is still powerful. The sin is still present. But guess what? The Savior is still the answer. The Savior is still the answer. Jesus is the answer. He tells us in John 14, I'm not going to get into all that because we might have some of that tonight, but John 14 tells us, you know, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's pretty narrow. What about all them other labels? What about all the religion? What about all them people out in the world? You mean they got to believe in you? They got to have their sins forgiven. That's what the Bible says. And I don't know what to tell you except that I didn't create this world, so I can't change the rules of this world. The one who created it can make the rules, and these are his rules. We got to have Jesus as our answer. He's our only answer to get out of our predicament. We got to turn over everything to Jesus. We don't have to yield to the sources in our life that cause us problems. We don't have to yield to the sin that's still present in our life. But we need to yield and turn over our life to Jesus Christ because he is the answer today. What do we need to wake up to? People still need the Lord. Sin is still present. The source is still powerful in this world that we live in. And the Savior is still the answer. But lastly, don't forget about the solution. The solution is still available. You know, one day, God's going to say, that's it. It's over. It's done. And everybody is going to yield to Jesus. They're all going to bow, the Bible says. They're all going to acknowledge who he is, but it's too late. We have to make that choice while we're still alive. But there's going to be a point in time that God's going to cut it off and say, that's it. And the wrath of God will be upon this place. He's going to destroy it all. He's going to start all over. A brand new heaven and a brand new earth. What a day that's going to be. But there's still a solution today. So how can I get out of my sin problem? How can I get out of the source that's always just so powerful against me? How do I know? I know Jesus is the answer, but how do I make that available to me? The solution is Jesus, and it all starts with repentance. You see, Well, you go on TV and you see some people out there and you know who they are. I don't have to name who they are. I can turn on TV right now and you see who they are. They're going to tell you only the positive side of religion. And religion in general is a positive thing. It's trying to make you feel good, trying to make you, you know, say you're going to make it in life. Everything's going to be fine. You know, you have someone upstairs that loves you. But they don't tell you the other side. Why are we having all this conflict? Why do we have this problem in our bodies, in this life, and why is our earth and this world so messed up? Why is there so many sinful people out there doing some wicked, 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 wicked things to people? Why is that happening? Why can't we just have peace? Why is it all just in shambles? Because everything in this world is cursed. God cursed it in Genesis. He cursed the man, the woman, Satan, and this earth. It all got cursed. But there's a solution. God says, come to me. Repentance. Realize that we're nothing without Christ. We're just a sinner, cut off from God. But he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of life is eternal. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have a gift that God wants to give every person. That's the solution. But it takes repentance. We can't accept God's gift and say, well, I don't really believe there's anything wrong with me, but I'll take it just in case. You know, I've never had anybody tell me, and I've asked a lot of people. I mean, there's always nuts out there, but I've never had anybody tell me that they're just ready and willing and couldn't wait to get to hell. Most people, when they talk to me, say, you know, I ask them, you know, do you know if you die today, you'd go to heaven? And they say, well, I'm hoping. I'm hoping I do. I'm pretty sure. I'm thinking I am, but I'm just hoping, you know, everything works out. God will just, when I get up to the pearly gates and meet whoever, that they're just going to, you know, it's just going to work out. And you just hope for the best. God wants you to know there's a solution, not just a hope for the best. The solution starts with repentance. We got to be sorry and understand that we know we can't make it to heaven. We can't get in God's presence the way we are. We can never meet his standard. We can never clean ourselves up enough to be holy as God. The curse is upon every human. God created a curse, and it's going to be on every human, regardless of how well we try to live our life. But we have a solution. We know the answer is Jesus. The solution is repentance. We got to turn from our ways and say, Lord, I cannot make it. There's no way I can make it to heaven. There's no way I can be as good as you, and no way I can clean myself up enough, no matter what my label is, no matter what my religion is, no matter what my upbringing was. I can't change. I'm cursed. But you can take away that curse. And if we trust in him, he can change the course of our life. The solution is still available. We know the Savior is still the answer. We need to wake up to the fact that God wants us to know people still need the Lord. One great general said when he was faced with overwhelming odds during a battle and asked by headquarters to give a status, he wrote back and said, no reserves, no retreat, no regrets. Another general that you may be familiar with in World War II was given a note from the enemy that had him surrounded and said, all you got to do is just surrender and we'll spare your life. He wrote back one word, nuts. They weren't going to change. They weren't going to give up. They weren't going to quit. They weren't going to give in. That's how we need to be. Not to our past and all that stuff we thought was right and true and what we tried to believe in our life, but what the Bible says. We need to wake up and take a stand on what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us people still need the Lord today, and God still saves. Let's go to the Lord in prayer just for a few moments, if you would, please. Just bear with me just for a few moments as we stand together. I just want to have a quick time of prayer and invitation. If there's anything on your life and heart that you need to come and pray about or ask God about, now is the time. Why hear a word from God and not respond to it? You may be here today wondering whether you're going to go to heaven or not. It's so simple. God doesn't make the path to heaven hard, difficult. You don't have to sell everything you have and give it to the Lord. You don't have to cut off your right arm. There's just stuff that we think we have to do to get acceptance from God. And God says, all you got to do is accept my son. Repentance. Maybe you should just ask the Lord, Lord, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Not sure I'm saved today. But I know your word says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And as best as I know how, Lord, I repent for my sin and ask you to be my Savior, that I can be righteous in your eyes. If you'll just pray that right now and from your heart to God, he will save you. He will forgive you. You will have righteousness in God's eyes for the first time in your life. Would you pray that? Would you ask God to save you right now? Maybe you're here and you know you're saved, but you just, God maybe speak to your heart about waking up about some things and taking a stand. And we need to do that as Christians and understand that we need to take a stand for God and know that he's still our Savior. People still need the Lord. And we still need to tell people the truth and not give in and quit. Whatever the need is, would you pray right now with God, have his way as we pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us here today. We ask that you'll bless our service and the people that are here. Just speak to every heart. Whatever the need is right now in our heart, would you reassure them and accept what their heart is saying to you right now, that their need may be met. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we pray, just for a couple moments, if you have a need you'd like to come to the altar for, or something you want to come talk to me about, would you come right now? Would you just pray whatever God would have you do? Just spend a moment with God.